the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Salvation by grace, the heart and core of our Christian faith, is yet so often and so easily so misunderstood. Consider how many view the church simply as a system of rules and regulations, the things to do whereby we might be assured that all's right with God. What do I have to do to join your church? Someone will ask. Pastor, I'm divorced. Does your church allow me to be remarried? Teach confirmation children the Ten Commandments and observe how to most of them God's will, God's holy will, seems just another list of do's and don'ts to be added to an already overregulated life with parental legislation and all sorts of other hindrances to their having a good time. And certainly anyone who has made evangelism calls knows how many people are trusting really in themselves and in their apparent ability to live closely enough to God's rules and the church's regulations to be assured that they will get to heaven. Even within the church, the message and purpose of our faith is often obscured. How many view worshiping God on Sunday morning as just going to church to fulfill some sort of weekly obligation? Or how many view a church convention as little more than a bunch of resolutions and rules, precept upon precept, line upon line, either to be enforced legalistically or ignored defiantly, with little understanding of the law of love and of humble submission one to another? And how about seminary education and even summer school? Is it only a mass of assignments, due dates, grades, so much law and apparently precious little gospel? Writing, reading, grammar in language, rules and exceptions to rules, line upon line, line upon line, a little here, a little there, a little everywhere. Well, this is all nothing new. Isaiah tells us that he had the same problem in his day with those both within and without the church who misunderstood what God's true message is all about. Woe to the crown of beauty of the drunkards of Ephraim, Isaiah says at the beginning of his 28th chapter. You've missed the whole point of God's grace to you. You take it all for granted. You think it's just a matter of going through some motions, of doing this, of saying that, precept here, line there, God's in his heavens, and all's right with the world. And so now even my words of judgment and warning sound to you as just so many more rules and regulations to be ignored at will. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, everywhere a little little, sav la sav, sav la sav, kav la kav, kav la kav, se'er sham, se'er sham. Even in Hebrew it sounds, especially in Hebrew it sounds, like children babbling, children's talk. But Isaiah says, you don't understand. You don't get the point. Of course, it doesn't help. You're all drunk. Drunk with wine, drunk with strong drink, and drunk with a few good belts of pride and arrogance as well. Well, if you're so confident, Isaiah says, if you're so cocky, since you seem to know all the rules and when to break them, all the rules and when you must enforce them, since you've even made a covenant with death and think it's nothing to be feared. After all, God will save you. You're good folk, honest people, friendly, love a good time, beautiful people. Well, then, be judged by the rule, Isaiah says, and be found wanting, for you don't measure up. And I'll make justice the line and righteousness the plummet, and we'll just see how crooked and drunken and selfish and sinful you really are. And then, Isaiah says, speaking for the Lord himself, I'll show you another way, a sure way. For I am laying, indeed I have already laid in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, tested not against the rules and regulations of man, tested not against the misunderstandings and misapplications of religion by sinful men, but tested by the very will of God and made firm and precious and solid as rock by God's judgment and righteousness laid on him, so that in him, the rock, you may be saved, and he who believes will not run away. God says, I'll make justice the line and righteousness the plummet. And you can trust in yourselves and be found wanting, or trust in the stone upon whom I have put my judgment for you, upon whom I have made you righteous by putting my righteousness in him. Well, need I say the obvious? Come to that living stone, as St. Peter would later say. Peter, the disciple whom that stone dubbed the rock, come to that stone, he would exhort us today as well. To that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. And in him see God's justice and righteousness and mercy and grace. And that is what the church today is all about. That's what Zion has ever been about. And that is the message that we proclaim too. Not so many rules and regulations, but the good news of forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ, of a relationship with God that transcends space and time. And that is what our church and our synod is here to proclaim, a church working together, yes, walking together. And that is what this seminary and summer school is all about, not just assignments and grades, but service and strengthening and growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and precious stone raised for us in Zion, so that we may go out from this place and better witness to a world not with babbling and prattle and child's talk, not with misunderstandings and misapplications, not with so many rules and regulations, but with a clear word of law and gospel, and with a message of God's judgment and righteousness and grace and mercy in Christ, the stone. Amen.